Hawker Beechcraft to adopt Eclipse orphans. That stolen 172 had been left with the keys in it. And the new Obama defense paradigm could be bad news for Seattle. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, April 8, 2009. There's an interesting new subplot in the Eclipse Aviation bankruptcy story. David Green, chairman of the steering committee for the Eclipse Owners Group, says the group has signed a non-binding letter of intent with Hawker Beechcraft Corporation. Under its terms, if the group is successful in acquiring the Eclipse assets needed to support the existing fleet, it would handle FAA compliance matters, while Hawker would provide upgrades, maintenance, and other services through its service network. Green observes, quote, HBC's reputation across the industry, and especially among its customers and suppliers, is unsurpassed. This relationship is sure to create tremendous confidence in Eclipse owners that their planes will be flying for many years to come, unquote. Bill Brown, HBC President of Global Customer Service and Support, added, quote, Hawker Beechcraft is pleased to offer Eclipse 500 owners the highest quality service and support in general aviation. We look forward to this new relationship and keeping the Eclipse 500s in the air, unquote. The Eclipse Owners Group was formed to pursue the assets and intellectual property needed to support the current fleet, but also promises to support the proposals of other bidders if it finds them to be in the interest of the owners. It turns out the Turkish-born Canadian citizen who was arrested Monday night after allegedly leading Border Patrol aircraft and two F-16s on a multi-hour, multi-state pursuit was a flight student. 31-year-old Yavuz Burk, also known as Adam Leon, is accused of stealing a Cessna 172 from Confederation College in Thunder Bay, Ontario, Monday afternoon. Officials say the plane entered U.S. airspace without contact with Customs or ATC. The Wisconsin State Capitol at Madison was evacuated, but despite the lack of response to radio calls, chase pilots concluded there was no hostile intent and waited for the plane to land. That happened on a dirt road in Missouri later that night. Police tell CNN the pilot fled on foot, walked to a nearby store, and waited for authorities to arrive. There's still no word on what he was thinking. It's now reported the school routinely leaves the keys in its planes. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has taken the opportunity to note that while all the other layers of security worked as planned, the simple precaution common at U.S. flight schools of securing the keys in the aircraft would have been a big plus here. Craig Spence, AOPA's VP of Regulatory Affairs, says the incident, quote, should prompt every GA pilot, airport, and flight school to review their security procedures and make sure they are voluntarily doing their part to keep our airports and aircraft secure, unquote. If it's bad news for Boeing, it's bad news for Seattle, and the Seattle Times has broken down the potential impact on the region of the defense realignment announced on Monday by U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates. Analyst Lauren Thompson of Lexington Institute observes, quote, Boeing seems to have been hit harder than any of the other major contractors, unquote. Boeing makes the wings for the F-22 Raptor, which now appears likely to end production in 2011. That accounts for about 1,200 Boeing workers. Hundreds of Boeing engineers in the Seattle area could be displaced by cancellation of the Army's Future Combat Systems, a $160 billion program developing networked vehicles and drones. Boeing has also been a bidder to develop a new combat search and rescue helicopter and the TSAT satellite constellation, potential cancellations worth tens of billions of dollars. In one bright note, Gates did commit to a third round of bidding for a new Air Force aerial tanker this year. Boeing is expected to bid yet again. As ANN reported, the Associated Press learned that the FAA applied on March 24th for permission to lock down its database of bird strike reports, expressing the concern that the data's release would cast a negative light on the images of certain airports and the airline industry in general. But USA Today has apparently found a copy that got out before the January 15th ditching of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 made the issue a hot topic. The paper reports FAA data shows collisions between airliners and large birds have risen dramatically since the agency started keeping track in 1990. Strikes by birds large enough to cripple an airliner averaged 323 per year through the 1990s. Between 2000 and 2007, the average was 524. That's a 62% increase. The data is of limited use in reaching statistically valid conclusions, because despite pressure from the National Transportation Safety Board, reporting strikes is not mandatory. the FAA estimates only 20% of strikes are reported. Up next on ANN, fewer passengers makes airline service better. Delta had a tough month in March, and the NTSB says a mechanic used the wrong tool. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 8th. I'm Paul Plagg. After one of the worst years ever for passenger complaints in 2007, the nation's airlines posted substantial gains in 2008, according to a report issued Monday by the Airline Quarterly Rating, or AQR. Fox Business reports the AQR report showed a 3% improvement in on-time performance and complaints dropping to the lowest levels in 5 years. Dean Headley of the Barton School of Business at Wichita State says part of it is the recession. Quote, "We know the system performs better when it's less stressed by high passenger volume. The economy scared away both business and leisure travelers in 2008, unquote. Overall, Hawaiian Airlines was rated the best in the combined ranking for on-time performance, lost baggage, and flight delays and cancellations. Southwest had the lowest rate of passenger complaints. U.S. Airways finished at the bottom of that category with 2.01 issues per 100,000 passengers, way above the industry average of 1.15. You can find more details in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. More incoming March airline passenger numbers show it was a tough month for Delta, down 12.6% from the combined individual performances of Delta and Northwest in March last year before the merger. Capacity was cut by only 7.9% year-to-year, falling behind dropping demand. Load factor dropped 4.4 points to 80.5. Domestic traffic decreased 11.1% year-over-year. As with some other airlines, Delta had counted on international routes to prop things up, but international traffic instead plummeted 15.1%. The NTSB determined yesterday an engine fire on an American Airlines jetliner was probably due to an unapproved and improper procedure used by mechanics to manually start one of the engines. The board adds the fire was prolonged and the safety of the aircraft further jeopardized by how the flight crew handled the emergency. On the afternoon of September 28, 2007, American Airlines Flight 1400, an MD-82, experienced an in-flight left engine fire following departure from Lambert St. Louis International Airport. On the return, the nose landing gear failed. The crew eventually got the plane on the ground with no injuries but with substantial damage. The investigation revealed that a component in the manual start mechanism of the engine was damaged when a mechanic used an unapproved tool to initiate a start while the plane was at the gate. The deformed mechanism led to a sequence of events that resulted in the engine fire. The board also criticized the captain for failing to properly allocate tasks between himself and the first officer, repeatedly interrupting the emergency checklist for lower priority tasks. A long list of remedies for both the flight crew and maintenance procedures was recommended. Get the details at aero-news.net. Representatives of the U.S. Air Force yesterday welcomed the first of 14 new Lockheed Martin C-130J Super Hercules aircraft that'll be permanently based at Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany. U.S. Air Forces in Europe Commander General Roger Brady acknowledged the C-130J's critical contribution. Quote, "USAFE truly does bring a lot to the fight, in particular the vital airlift capability we provide in the global war on terror and vital humanitarian operations the world over. The C-130J Super Hercules will give us an even greater capacity to perform all those missions, unquote. Lockheed says 10 C-130Js will be delivered to Ramstein this year, and four more in 2010, in support of the 37th Airlift Squadron 86th Airlift Wing. The J model is longer than the C-130Es being replaced. Still ahead, Hartzell has a new composite prop for the PA-46. The Wisconsin Aviation Hall of Fame inducts 5. And Jeepers Peepers, is that shampoo? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, April 8th. I'm Paul Plack. Hartzell's top prop line now includes an advanced composite propeller STC'd for Piper PA-46 Matrix and Mirage piston aircraft. Hartzell tells ANN three-blade propellers offer significant weight savings through a combination of carbon fiber and Kevlar blades and a new lightweight aluminum hub, saving nearly 11 pounds on the nose versus Hartzell's first-generation composite prop, which is currently standard on those aircraft. The price is also significantly lower. This is also Hartzell's first certification for ASC2 approved for flight into known ice, using an electrothermal de-ice system. The props use an integral stainless steel shank and co-molded electroformed nickel leading edges. The propellers save enough weight to allow a 7-gallon increase in fuel capacity in the extreme forward CG case, which adds up to 30 minutes of flight time at the economy cruise power setting, or about 90 miles more range at 18,000 feet. Cruise improved an average of nearly 2 knots over speeds published in the POH. Cirrus Aircraft announced yesterday that John Duplais has been appointed VP of Domestic Sales, responsible for the strategy and performance of the Cirrus Aircraft North American Direct Sales Team and the expansion of Cirrus sales in the U.S. and Canada. Duplais called his new challenge a privilege. Quote, I look forward to not only maintaining our position as a market leader, but to expanding into new segments that GA piston aircraft have not traditionally addressed. Even in the face of current economic headwinds, Cirrus is very well positioned to grow, and I am optimistic about our prospects for the remainder of the year and beyond, unquote. Duplais joined Cirrus in December of 2001 and has held roles as Corporate Flight Operations Manager, Regional Sales Manager for the Northern Plains and Alaska, and most recently Domestic Sales Director. The Wisconsin Aviation Hall of Fame reports it will induct 5 aviators at a ceremony to be held this fall, honoring achievements and contributions to aviation in Wisconsin. Racine native John Gerstad was a B-24 pilot during World War II. He was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor posthumously on October 28, 1943. Paul Johns, a resident of Iola, Wisconsin, soloed a glider in 1929 and a Curtiss pusher in 1931. He's crossed the Pacific 230 times in consolidated PBYs and Boeing 314s. He has served as a corporate pilot, has built and flown a Kitfox, and at age 95, continues to sell a VHF aircraft antenna of his own design. Laverne Reller served as chief pilot for the state of Wisconsin and flew 7 governors during his tenure. He built a Smith Mini and flew it for 30 years. Reller passed away in 1995. Gunter Volz of Glendale was born in Germany. Drafted in 1939, he flew a Fiesler Storch and fought on the Eastern Front till 1945. He came to Wisconsin in 1951 and started giving glider instruction at West Bend and Hartford, eventually soloing more than 400 glider pilots. Giles Meisenheimer was a Milwaukee native who served in the 1st Wisconsin Cavalry National Guard on the Mexican border in 1916 and in the Royal Air Force in World War I. He served as an airport manager and flight instructor in Southeast Wisconsin. Meisenheimer died in 1963. The Wisconsin Aviation Hall of Fame collects and preserves the history of aviation in Wisconsin, recognizes those who created it, and promotes aviation education to future generations. The induction banquet will be held October 17th in Oshkosh. And finally, when the U.S. Transportation Security Administration announced the debut of full-body scanners, all the concern seemed to be over whether passengers would revolt at strangers looking at their bodies with X-ray vision. Well, what a difference a few weeks makes. Robin Kane, the agency's acting chief technology officer, tells the New York Times initial results from tests at 19 airports have been so positive that the agency's now considering replacing its old-school metal detectors with scanners for everyone. By the way, if you worry about the additional X-ray exposure, you probably shouldn't be flying. TSA says a scan is equivalent to the ambient radiation received in 2 minutes aboard an airliner, where much of the Earth's protective atmosphere is below you. Developers say advanced X-ray technology may soon be able to detect explosive chemicals in carry-ons, bringing an end to the ban on shampoo and other gels. Experts warn that could make thousands of TSA jokes obsolete almost overnight. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Eric Anderson, co-founder, president, and CEO of Space Adventures, welcomes home space tourist Charles Simone and discusses his company's plans for the future. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.